Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside with you right here on the early line. It's a Thursday morning. We started off with the United States and the Netherlands game yesterday, where the United States women's national team was able to grab a draw against the Netherlands. This was a tighter line than probably what people would have expected. At least, look, you're coming off of a Vietnam game where the expectation is the United States is going to win 6-7-0. And they didn't do that. It was only 3-0, which we warned a little bit about heading into that game. The United States yesterday, I believe their money line, I want to say minus 160, Donnie, at around the close of that number.
Yeah.
A draw here is a great result for the Netherlands. The USA just not able to cash in on their opportunities. They had 13 total more short shots, 3 more on target, but they had to pull one back here, and they settled for just 1 point.
Yeah, and also, you have to remind ourselves, we're not in the knockout stage yet. You're in the group stage. So is winning the group stage nice? Yes, it's certainly going to be nice if they can do that. But yesterday, I think they're okay with the draw here. The loss doesn't really put them in it. And again, they're going to be a heavy favorite in their next game. They are going to move on here. But I think if we need to get those notions where it's like, you know, the 1992 dream team in Olympic basketball for the U.S., where they go and win every game 11-0 because how talented they are. Granted, they're the favorites to win the World Cup, and they should be, and they are talented. But the rest of the world does have some pretty good clubs. And when the pressure ramps up, like we saw, a minus 20,000 game turns into a minus 160 game, you see the evolution of that game. Now, granted, I was happy with the result for Team USA. Some people, oh, they should have won and won easy. It's just a matter of getting to the next round, not being injured, and working out the kinks on an international stage. I think they'll be fine. I'm not alarmed by that because you have to temper your expectations on, A, this team with a lot of young players on it that don't have a ton of World Cup experience. And number two, it wasn't a must-win yesterday. They just have to win their next game, move on, they'll be fine.
I will say, though, and look, it's kind of... You're right, Donnie. I believe they're minus 1,700 to advance. They'll advance. There should be no issues with that. A draw against Portugal, not even a win, a draw against Portugal would see them advance through. But they now are in danger of no longer winning this group, which, of course, they were a monster favorite to win. Currently, goal differential, they're up 2 on the Netherlands, but Portugal is a far more difficult side to play than Vietnam is. And that is something to keep in mind because so that game is going to be Tuesday. It is a 3 a.m. Eastern time start time there, right? So that's one of those DRS. Oh, you got to get wagers in and you got to get them in for before bed. But look, if you love the Women's World Cup, you love the U.S. Women's National Team, you're going to stay up 3 a.m. You're going to bet this. You're going to figure out a way. Live betting opportunities there are key because that's, Donnie, where scoreboard watching is essential, right? If you're the United States and you get to a point where you're like, you know what? We have the win secured. We're just going to focus about the win. That's great. But the Netherlands DRS, they might push forward because, again, remember the perception around Vietnam is that they were going to lose 6-0. That's because they had lost to teams like Spain, like France, by comparable margins. They had lost that game to Spain. I believe it was 9-0 there. So you are going to see the Netherlands be a much bigger favorite in their final group game than the United States will be to Portugal.
Yes, and you're correct with that, too, because goal differential does matter, which is even what I thought about when they played Vietnam, talking about Team USA, Kevin, and how actually important it was to try to run it up just in case you needed those goals. They didn't, because the old adage was, what? Well, they're going to win this group anyway. What's the big deal? 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 goals here. Now we might be looking at that.
Our radio audience is here with us on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside of the early line, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're going to get over to the 3M Open in just a couple of minutes here on this show. But I want to make one final point, and it's been one of the more frustrating things for me with kind of this team, the betting options, whatever it might be. I talked a lot about Trinity Rodman, Donnie, in terms of trying to find a longer shot to lead the U.S. women's national team in goal scoring, and then maybe even lead this tournament. You have Trinity Rodman goalless so far, but the premise of that was to fade Alex Morgan. I chose wrong. It's Sophia Smith with two. She scored both goals for herself in the opening against Vietnam. And Lindsey Horan has scored in both games here. Alex Morgan has not scored yet. And that to me is not more so, oh my goodness, what's wrong with Alex Morgan? It's not that surprising. And it's the fact that she's booked at minus 500, minus 800. I mean, my goodness, the numbers that we saw in that first game to score goals. And it's hard to find ways to bet against those Alex Morgan numbers.
Yeah, and also if you take a look at the U.S. top goal scorer for this tournament, Kevin, Sophia Smith, a plus 115 now, when we originally saw Alex Morgan being the favorite, Horan at plus 185. Now, Alex Morgan, do you get value on a plus 380 price? Because it's not a runaway with Sophia Smith. She's not up 5-1. It's 2-0 at this point. But the one I do want to point out is Megan Rapinoe was one of those where, hey, -600, -700 to score in game number one. I'm going down the list right now. How about this? 100-1 to lead Team USA in goals scored here in the World Cup. So one of those miscalculations that I think it was last year, the year or two ago, starting running back for Ohio State game number one. It's like, hey, look at this. Why is this odd shifting? Maybe she's not going to play a big part here in this World Cup.
This is something, though, that we warned of with her, right, is that they're going to play the long game here, and they're not going to put her in bad positions, Donnie. Minus 750 to score a goal in that opening game. Never would have hanged that no, though. We know that. Never would have hanged the no. 3M Open. Decisions had to be made. How do I feel about it? A little uneasy. We'll get into that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are underway at the 3M Open DRS, and this is a tournament we're coming off of the major championship, so we're used to it, right? Depleted field a little bit. Your favorite ends up being Cameron Young, who was still looking for his first PGA Tour win. Tony Finau, one of the top options, who won this tournament last year as we are in Minnesota. It's a par 71. As always, I like to try and see what that winning score over-under is listed at, and it was a 19.5 number. DRS. So this is supposed to be one of those get after it tournaments. Plenty of birdie opportunities for these golfers. When you go through the top of the board, again, and I'm talking about the very, very top there, the Young, Im, Matsuyama, and Finau grouping. It's tough to decipher who would be the guy. For me, if I was, and I didn't grab any of the four, and you know me, I'm usually betting at the very tippy top of the board in the outright markets, it probably would have been Cam Young in just a really good form. At some point, he's got to secure a PGA Tour win. But personally, felt like I was close enough when I bet him at the John Deere Classic to not see it come in. And I don't know if Cam Young has got the consistency in his game to bet him as a pre-tournament favorite right now.
Yeah, just trying to ride those waves, too, trying to find the hot hand. And also, these are the interesting tournaments, Kevin, because when we talk about the majors, which we just had the Open Championship, you expect the superstars to win. Now, granted, Brian Harman wasn't a superstar, but since 2017, they said most top 10 finishes of any golfer on the PGA Tour. So he's always hanging around. And also, that's why we talk about like Scottie Scheffler, who, again, is not in this tournament, but guys that you expect to be there on Sunday. You got to be in it to win it here. You know, you got to have some guys that are used to being around with that pressure. So the Hideki Matsuyamas, the Tony Finaus of the world, that's who I would look towards here, because the reason, Kevin, they're playing in this golf tournament, not necessarily to earn a paycheck for the week, which, yes, every PGA golf tour player wants to do, but they think it's a legitimate chance to say, a depressed field, I really think I can win it. So those are the ones that I focus on, Matsuyama, Finau, and also the guy that I'm most looking for here, Sepp Straka, 22-1 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Great showings there. What, won the John Deere Classic, tied for two in the Open. open, guys that are playing well that want to extend yeah. that winning streak, who maybe if they didn't play well, might have pulled out from this tournament. Those are the guys I look for. Give me somebody playing well lately, and I'll be willing to ride that guy.
Yeah, look, there were a couple of options here for this tournament beyond the outright market that I was tempted by. Adam Hadwin for a top 40. It was minus 135 in the FanDuel Sportsbook. He's been a bounce-back player, but it's kind of been that those up and downs. He's coming off of that poor his last outing was a poor result. So Hadwin made some sense, but I didn't trust it enough. And then JT Poston consistently misses the cut after playing at a major, Donnie, 10 of 12 times in his career, except one of those exceptions. Last year at the 3M, where he finished T11, I backed off. Those were a couple of numbers. You want to keep your eyes on them. If they reappear heading into the second round, you certainly can. I did, though, make a leap here in the outright market. I couldn't help myself. It's Justin Thomas at 30-1. Justin Thomas is playing some horrendous golf. I mean, absolutely awful, awful golf. No doubt about it. And how much does the narrative factor into my decision here, Donnie? I won't say none at all, because the narrative around Justin Thomas is, I don't know if it's a narrative, it's a fact. He needs to play really, really well here if he wants to not only get into the FedEx Cup, the playoff, and everything like that, but it's the Ryder Cup. Been a lot of conversation about the Ryder Cup. And, you know, Justin Thomas, you can tell that it's the only part of I think, where Justin Thomas almost feels somewhat embarrassed, Donnie, that he is going to have to potentially rely on a captain's pick to make the Ryder Cup team. This is, you know, one of the world's top golfers usually year in, year out, and he's going to be able to qualify on points. You look at his last couple of tournaments here, his last six overall, four missed cuts and a T60. Yeah. There was that T9 at the Travelers Championship, though. The final round of golf at the Open was at least a 71, bouncing back from the horrendous 82 that started his tournament here. But really why I made the decision to bet Justin Thomas, Donnie, is I actually felt like you were getting a fair number at 30-1. Because this number started off much further up the board, 20-1. I believe it might have even been a touch under that price there. In terms of the world golf rankings, Justin Thomas is the third best player here, behind only Cam Young and Tony Finau. And this is not a situation where people clearly are slamming the narrative bet on Justin Thomas. Odds makers had to drop these way further back and hang a more reasonable number on Justin Thomas, despite the fact, DRS, you go up and down, you always saw, you know, kind of the name recognition. You send this top board to your buddy who likes watching and betting golf, they're going to go, what is the Justin Thomas number? What's that 30-1 there? I think you are getting a fair price on the most motivated golfer in the field, and at 30-1, it was worth my dollars to see if it could make some sense.
The positives on Justin Thomas over his career, he's only 30 years old. We have to remember that's still quite young and right in the middle of his prime. 15 PGA Tour victories, which includes multiple major championships here. Kevin, did you know he actually made $54 million already on the PGA Tour, not counting sponsorship here? He's had an incredible career already, but the one thing that's always tough, if you're not right in the mind while you're playing golf, all the talent, we know he has the talent. There's no question about that. He was a young phenom on tour. Like, hey, how many championships can he actually win here? It feels like it's been a while, but also you want that momentum, as I just talked about. He didn't play very well in the Open Championship. But let's remind ourselves, the Open Championship, a lot different golf than what you play on the PGA Tour. As you get back to this course here, much more manageable, what you're used to doing. And maybe it's just like, okay, let me get the bad vibes out last week. I didn't play well on the Lynx-style golf course. Now I'm going with a field I should be able to take control of with a victory. And you're right. Name recognition sometimes is everything. But you do look at that price point, and as I always say, they don't just make these price points up because it just makes some sense. It's because of how well Justin Thomas is playing. Put it this way, Kevin. What does he need? Like, day one today. What do you need out of him? He can't be, oh, +1, -1, 7 shots back. Like, I feel like you have to have Justin Thomas, like a top 5 day one for me to realistically buy into Justin Thomas this week.
Oh yeah. So can I say, I actually think that's not only true, that's what they're aware of, dear. So if you take a look, right, Cam Young, 14-1 to win this tournament, 30-1 to be your round one leader. So they double the number. Justin Thomas, DRS, 45-1 to be the round one leader, but 30-1 to win the tournament. I do think there is an idea that it's got to be early if it's going to be for Justin Thomas. Am I going to sit here, though? Look, this is the one thing I said because I was talking with someone about betting Justin Thomas. Like, man, like, do we bet round one leader? Do we bet top 10s? Do we bet top 20s? What I'm not going to do is pour money into Justin Thomas because the world, Donnie, where this ends in a missed cut is very live. I'm not naive to that, you know? This is someone who comes in with horrendous form. Four of the last six tournaments he's missed the cut. There's a sneaky T9 in there. That's what we're doing. Fingers crossed for a T9. So I didn't go above and beyond here in terms of betting Justin Thomas, right? Like, if we would have had, Donnie, and it's usually more of a major championship thing, right? But if we would have had FanDuel insurance, right? If your golfer finishes top 20, you're going to get your money back. I'm probably not betting Justin Thomas. Or at least I'm not betting Justin Thomas using the FanDuel insurance. Then we'd grab a couple of golfers here. And that's how things would go. We're a little too early in this tournament to see anything in terms of real movement, right now on this board. At most, people are two holes through. Nobody has birdied both holes just yet here at the 3M Open. But DRS interested in Sepp Straka. There's a couple of, and look, yes. FanDuel's got great matchup bets, by the way, as well. These are certain things that have not come off of the board. I believe Straka on FanDuel matched up with Griot, who is expected to have himself a nice tournament here as well. But some fun numbers and always good numbers to go through here with the 3M Open. We'll do that a little bit more tomorrow as well. But coming up next, a Major League Baseball preview that starts off with the man of the hour, Shohei Ohtani, on the mound. The early line is back after a quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball time right here on the early line. DRS, as always, we try and deliver people the same game parlays to send them on their way. Make sure you are ready, folks, because we got early baseball today on a Thursday. Let's get these same game parlays cooking. Bring it to them, DRS.
Doubleheader in the afternoon. Now, it's the same game parlay, not a same game parlay plus. So we're going to keep it in game number one. And from the same guy, Kevin, that brought you Showtime, blowing people's minds. How about this one? Showmentum. Say, Donnie, what's the momentum going on here with the Angels? Well, the fact that it looks like they're quote-unquote all in by getting Lucas Giolito, now shifting the balance of power in the entire Major League Baseball universe because of that one move. I kid, but today, they are the better team here. They do have the better pitcher on the mound. Now, let's get down to basics here. We're keeping this simple. I don't even need the Angels to win the game for this same game parlay. It's two legs here, and it deals with Shohei Ohtani. Step up to the plate, get a base knock. That covers leg number one. Leg number two, Ohtani's on the mound. I'm going over 7.5 strikeouts there. Two legs here when that hits at a plus 168 price. Now, the reason why it's for Shohei Ohtani and you root it on, to be honest with you, the numbers here on the strikeout props do make some sense, but Ohtani at the plate should be able to get a base hit just about against anybody. But when we're actually lining this up here, Lorenzen does have some pretty good numbers here, particularly against left-handed batters, an 0.48 ISO and a weighted base percentage of 2.41. But the momentum of the Angels is going to add to those superpowers for Shohei Ohtani. And how much superpowers do we need, Kevin? He had one base hit today. He's getting that done. He's cashing a ticket. And away the Angels go on their new season, I should say, in the second half now.
So for me, I decided to abstain from the same game parlay because I just want to name a straight wager. But they didn't have it available for me, Donnie. The Showstoppers. I want the Tigers team total today because Shohei Ohtani, it's not that he's been struggling in his last three starts. He's been bad. His ERA in the month of July is a 7.71. Five earned runs, four earned runs, five earned runs. He's been getting lit up, DRS. So for me, I'm not worried about an SGP respectfully at the moment. I want the Showstoppers, which is the Detroit Tigers here, to make it splash. But again, that number not available just yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But I turn it to you. This is your domain, my friend. You tell me. Do the Tigers match up here at all? Are Ohtani's numbers still glistening through your lens?
No, they don't still glisten, because if we're just taking a look at that snapshot, Kevin, the last 30 days, if I read you this, right, say, okay, Ohtani, dominant pitcher, what does he have to offer? And I said, you know what? I'm just going to give you like player A and player B, which we'll do right now. Player A, last 30 days, weighted on base percentage against this pitcher, 371, that's elevated. ISO power number, 261, that's elevated. Player B here on the mound, an 025 ISO power number, a 218 weighted on base percentage. Michael Lorenzen is player B and technically the better pitcher on the mound, which, Kevin, is why I took the win for the Angels out of the equation. I say, hey, Donnie, throw the Angels money line on there. What are you, crazy? Yeah, I threw the Padres money line yesterday on with the Pirates. Look what good that did me. If you think there might be a chance that Ohtani does get hit, he still might get some strikeouts. That's why we used our head and went with a sensible, economical, and fashionable play for the afternoon for me, Kevin.
And fashionable, again, being the key word. Something to get excited about, though, you Moneyline listeners out there, with our 1 p.m. start time today on Sports Grid Radio, as we'll be able to follow it the whole way through here. Tigres, Angels, looks like it should be fun. And then they get to do it all again at 4:40. We got a little matinee situation here, a doubleheader. Once again, the Angels are the favorites, but it's a lighter number. It's a minus 118 with Sandoval on the mound against Manning. This total's a touch higher as it goes up from an 8 to an 8.5.
By the way, if we're getting anticipated lineups, usually, Kevin, right, you're going to go full gas in that first game, see if you win it, and then maybe pull back a little bit. The reason I'm bringing this up is, looking at the pitchers here, again, the statistics, Manning on the mound here, 98 batters he's faced, Kevin, over the past month, an 025 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 219. It's absolutely spectacular. Now we flip it over to the Angels and say, well, Ohtani's on game one. What about game two? Patrick Sandoval, 74 batters, Kevin, he's faced over the past month, an 047 ISO and a 254 weighted on base percentage. There's probably a chance here that we might not see Ohtani. We might not see Moniak. We might not get a full go from both of these baseball teams in game number two. Torkelson, Green, and Abanias, who have been very good over the past 30 days. Maybe we don't get that. I'm actually leaning under in game two. But again, we don't know the official rosters. And also, let's keep in mind, though, if we're looking at what happened overnight with the Angels, we always talk about, Kevin, sending the signal to your clubhouse on what to anticipate and also what the general manager and the ownership group thinks about you. They think the Angels have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs, make a move for a pitcher. So if I'm the manager of the Angels, are we just saying, okay, we won game one, throw away game two so we get the split? Or is it like, whoa, we're all hands on deck right now. Let's see how many wins we can actually rack up, which includes playing our best players in both games of the doubleheader, regardless of what the outcome of game number one is.
A lot more baseball to get to, and we will get to it, but I will let people know that we got an update coming for you in about 10 minutes' time. Around a running back that has long been rumored and looking for a home, it feels. And it pertains to one of our top stories of the day as well. Again, we'll get to that in about 10 minutes' time here. But, Donnie, let's go to the Mets and the Nationals. New York certainly relevant on a day like today. The Mets are a big-time favorite here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, flirting with a minus 200 status. The number right now is a 9. Can you trust the Mets in this spot?
Yeah, and we're not saying like, oh, man, we're coming down off that Subway Series. Man, two best teams in baseball really getting after it. That wasn't the case. It's a split in the Subway Series. Now we take a look at the Mets here with Senga on the mound. Senga's been really good on the season, Kevin, and in particularly over the past 30 days. Take a look at this. If you look at a right-handed pitcher, sometimes they struggle with left-handed batters. Not Senga here, an 047 ISO and a 216 weighted on base percentage. He's about average to right-handed batters. Not a lot of great looks in the lineup today for the Nationals. You have Abrams, Ruiz, and Smith, who look to be above average batters today, but a lot of guys that are below. Now, if we flip it over, Josiah Gray is going to be on the mound for the Washington Nationals here. He's a right-handed pitcher struggling with left-handed batters, the opposite of what I just told you with Senga here. Now, if we take a look at Nimmo, who's a lefty, he's been absolutely lacing right-handed pitching, Kevin, over the past month. You take a look at Lindor, waking up off the carpet here, 333 ISO power number against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. You also have Vogelbach, a 362 weighted on base percentage, and Beatty, who has actually struggled with left-handed batters going lefty-lefty, but not against righties. He's been very good as well. The Mets certainly are the favorite today. They should take care of business, and maybe a team total for the Mets might make a little bit of sense a little bit later today, or tonight, I should say, at 7 o'clock.
All right, fair enough. Then we'll keep our eye on there with the Mets. Obviously, this is a team that I think them turning it around, DRS seems like that's not really going to be on the board.
I don't think it's happening.
You know, no. Fully turning it around, but could a sweep here for them add a little momentum, right? Maybe so. And look, maybe if anything, it allows them just to make sure that everything stays in-house. I think the Mets might be a team in neutral, really, as we kind of hit the deadline here. But a disaster series against Washington in your own building could maybe kind of change the equation there a little bit. We know how these things go. Cubs-Cardinals is next year. And this is now a red-hot Chicago Cubs team. That's won 5 in a row. And they're a road favorite here against St. Louis. The total is a 9. The Cubs, Donnie, are 50-51, trying to gain ground in this Central, all the while Cody Bellinger is one of the hottest names on the market as the deadline approaches.
And let's talk about hot, Kevin. Look at this. We're not in Chicago. We're in St. Louis, in the heartland of the U.S. 97 degrees at first pitch. Ooh, what time they start, Donnie? 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Going to be a hot one. No. This starts at 7:45 in the evening. It's expected to be 97 degrees with a wind blowing out to left field. So keep that in mind. The pitchers on the mound also red hot, particularly from a Chicago Cubs perspective. Steele has been very good all season long, Kevin. Now, here's the interesting part. Take a look at this. He's a left-handed pitcher. 90 batters he's faced from the right side over the past 30 days. An 0.59 ISO and a 2.88 weighted on base percentage. That is sensational. From about 20 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, a 4.12 ISO and a 4.26 weighted on base percentage. So you say, hey, let's knock these trends down. Let's get some left-handed batters in the lineup against Steele. I'm looking at the lineup that's anticipated today for those St. Louis Cardinals. One lefty in the lineup, all right-handed batters. That feeds right into Justin Steele. Let's take a look at the opposite side. Miles Michaelis will be on the mound. He's having a decent last 30 days, Kevin. A 1.24 ISO power number against and a 2.92 weighted on base percentage. But I think if we're bringing up the player here that you do want to watch, which includes had an RBI two nights ago, home run late last night, it's Cody Bellinger ripping the cover off the baseball against right-handed pitchers. One of those guys that's going to be right in the middle of that lineup. He'll probably do damage. So maybe an RBI prop play on Bellinger just makes sense to ride that hot bat, which he has been sensational. And guess, a trade piece? Maybe just hold on to him at this point if you're the Cubs.
5 straight games with an RBI for Cody Bellinger, 11 total RBIs in those games. As you said, he's been baseball, hottest hitter for about a month now, batting over 400 in the month of July. Should I sneak in White Sox, Guardians, DRS? You want to do that on the other side?
Just not even really a cap on this game. Keep in mind at this time of the season here, Dylan Cease is on the mound for the Chicago White Sox. He's in a lot of trade rumors. Make sure you understand what you're betting, and it's official that guy is actually going to be starting the game. Just a little food for thought there.
Folks, coming up next, a little bit more Major League Baseball conversation around the deadline. Some big news potentially brewing in the NFL. We break that down next right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big news in the National Football League. What did we say this morning? Talk about Aaron Rodgers taking a big pay cut, freeing up some money. Moves could be made for the New York Jets next season. In season or right now around Dalvin Cook. Nothing official, but also coincidences are a rarity. Dalvin Cook now flying into New York for a visit with the New York Jets this weekend, Donnie, and this news comes immediately following the Aaron Rodgers pay cut. Maybe I am drinking the Kool-Aid, but at this very moment, I am now expecting that when you and I are here Monday morning, we are talking about the latest New York Jet, Dalvin Cook.
Or Dalvin Cook schedules a trip to Miami to check out the Dolphins facilities at this point here. By the way, 25 years ago, these were big deals here. When free agents were on the market, you did a college recruiting trip. I'm going to pick 5 teams, go visit them, and see what happens. Now everything is done basically virtually. I don't know what would change. Dalvin Cook coming, like, is Dalvin like, I don't know if I like the Jets locker room. I don't know if I like the Jets facilities here. I need to go fly in. Look, everybody's world-class facilities just about in the National Football League. What would change his mind? And also, is the mindset going like, we would like Dalvin Cook, but we want him to like it, so like the bait and switch at a car dealership. Let's get him in here, give him all this love, and then when we start talking turkey, right, with actually getting down to, hey, Dalvin, 1 year, $3 million, maybe a little bit of incentives, $2.5 million. What do you think here? There's got to be some mutual interest in the room for those two to actually fly in. But I'm not putting the horse before the cart at this point by saying, you know what? This means he's eventually going to sign. Dalvin's been available for a long time and has probably taken trips or talked to many, many teams with his agency. I don't know. It looks good, and I would love to see him on the Jets, but I don't think this could be a format out here.
So what do you think would be the hang-up, Donnie? What's the hesitation really for you, and why you don't see this being a done deal?
Maybe he's just looking for the paycheck. And by the way, does the horse actually go in front of the cart? Does the cart come in front of the horse?
I'm ignoring
that analogy I gave there. But again, with Cook here coming up, it's just a money thing, Kevin, right? He doesn't have to. I think you say, hey, you know what? I want $5 million. Good, get your $5 million. Like, I don't know who's the pressure on here. Is it Dalvin Cook showing up in camp going, man, we would love to have that player? Or is it Dalvin Cook showing up going, man, I would love to be here, as opposed to the team wanting him more? I think it just comes down to dollar figures here, to be honest.
So I am sure for Dalvin that if he was offered, let's go insane, $15 million to play for the Texans. My point is, Don, if he was offered $15 million to play with the Texans, he'd show up to Houston tomorrow and play, right? That's my point.
And say they had a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl. Yes, correct.
Correct. And here's the thing. You know who would at least for about 45 seconds believe in it? Right here. I'd be like, I don't know, man. CJ Stroud, let's get tanky in Houston. My point is, yes, money, of course, is going to matter. But because Dalvin Cook is probably not going to be getting those kind of offers, winning is going to matter. The Jets are a team. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you at home believe. The Jets are a team, league perception. They have the chance to be a true, true contender this season. But here's the other thing for me. Again, we know the Jets just cleared money. What was one of the big holdups for DeAndre Hopkins, right? Well, there's only a limited amount of teams that really had the financials to pay him what he wanted. The Jets now kind of enter a different tier, probably, Donnie. Plus, they've always been connected to him. But let me go over the top with this. Boy, the Jets love telling us the Breece Hall is going to be ready week one. But If you're the Jets, why are we putting all our eggs in that basket? At the end of the day, we talk about this. It is not in the Jets' best interest to go bell cow running back with a guy off of a torn ACL in Breece Hall. That doesn't make any sense. So in terms of need, Dalvin Cook, I actually think, is a need for the New York Jets.
And also, forget about the need position, Kevin. We talked about luxury possessions that you can have in the NFL. And when a team is looking to go for it, what's the last piece of the puzzle we always talk about? Like, ooh, if they could just get that wide out, just get that cornerback or quarterback. No, it's a running back position. So when you're in a chance, if you believe in the Jets building, and I think they do too, right? Forget about what we actually think. They think they are on a Super Bowl mission this year. And if you look around the locker room, they don't go, you know, we could really use a lot of help at defense. No, they got a pretty good defense here. We can use a lot of help at court. Nope, got to get all the quarterback you need there in Aaron Rodgers. Ooh, another wide. Nope, you got plenty of room with the wide. See what I mean? Get the running back in. And you're right. For a young player that got injured last year in Hall, you're expecting a lot as if he's going to come back and be a bell cow for 17 games. I'm not even saying Dalvin Cook is going to be a bell cow, but you can't tell me the running back room won't be better without Dalvin Cook. It seems like a no-brainer, which again, Buffalo's in the same division. What are you guys waiting on? It's going to let Dalvin Cook go to New York? I mean, come on, man. Stop it.
But for Buffalo, they did sign Damian Harris, right? So you have Dalvin's brother at the front. You have Damian Harris. I don't think do the Jets like Michael Carter? I don't know. You know, is he out of Pitt? Zonovan Knight. What do we? So Dalvin Cook is a huge step up here, DRS. I think for this locker room. And again, if you're Dalvin, so we talked about Hopkins going to Tennessee, and how he's like, all right, well, maybe if he has a really big season, he can get another payday kind of down the road. Dalvin plays the wrong position. Dalvin Cook doesn't need to go out there, run for 1,500 yards, and then think there's another payday coming down the road. He just had a great season in Minnesota and got cut because at the end of the day, he plays running back. So I think this lines up for Dalvin, and I'll make this last point here, and then maybe we'll bring a couple more baseball things in quick. The sports book's reacting. Good on him, smart move, all the Breece Hall season-long numbers, Donnie, because we talked about these a week or so ago on the show here, right? Angel 800 or so rushing yards. I think it was 5.5 or so touchdowns. I had somewhere in my notes. I'd have to look it up. But the numbers are off the board. All the Breece Hall season-long stuff, they immediately yanked down because obviously that's going to change things in a major way.
It is going to change things in a major way, and rightfully so for them to take it down, because anybody of Dalvin Cook's stature, and granted, let's also remind Dalvin Cook saying, this is maybe the healthiest I've felt in a long time, got a couple things fixed in the offseason, and I'm ready to give it a go. And let's take a look at a running back position that goes, Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback. I should have plenty of space out here with NFL teams not saying, how do we stop Dalvin Cook? They're saying, how do I stop Aaron Rodgers and the passing game here? It seems like a perfect fit. We'll see if it happens. And also, that's the luxury item you need that might be able to push you over the top. Who's going to say that week three out here, swing pass to Dalvin Cook, 65-yard touchdown. That's why we got that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, maybe I'm jumping the gun. It's the timing for me, I guess, Donnie. It's Rodgers just created all this money yesterday, and then immediately the Jets bring in Dalvin. I also think, though, when you make this, what is it that they're bringing him in about? Is it that they're not actually going to offer him a good amount of money and then
correct.
Rodgers is going to smooth it over? Like, Rodgers, hey, well, we can do some winning here?
Exactly. Here's what you do. It lets you. And by the way, it says the weekend. Like, is he going a whole weekend? Where's he going? Broadway play? You know, a little. You know, Peter Luger's. Like, well, what are we actually doing this weekend? Are we taking him out on the town in limousines? But it sounds like we're not necessarily close on money. But the one thing you can do, which agents are usually smart on this, going like, you're not getting in the room. It's like, hey, look, you're close to getting a deal. It's like, well, the owner's like, let me call the player directly and say, you're not doing that because I know what's going to happen. Yeah. That owner's going to talk to the player. It's like, all right, you know what? I'll be in the camp here. But I have a feeling that it's get Dalvin in and say, man, this could be a great spot for you. And it's like, you know what? I wanted 7.5. I'll take 3.5. That's what it feels like.
So my thing with that is, and I think it's a fair point, but they just created – it would be funny if the Jets are like, hey, look, man, like this is all we could offer. And like, oh, hold on.
Yes.
He just took that $35 million pay cut. Everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers. What do you mean this is all you can offer? This doesn't make any sense here right now. So I say again, I mean, if he leaves that without a deal, Donnie, though, then I don't know what we're doing. What would Dalvin be waiting on?
I don't know. But by the way, the joke would be like Aaron Rodgers, you know, saved his contract $35 million to somehow give it again to Devontae Adams, who's not even on his team anymore, is probably what's taking place here. But you're right. Dalvin Cook should be in New York. If you said right now, what team does he fit best with? It's the New York Jets. It makes too much sense. And maybe the Jets know that. We'll see what happens here. But it's kind of interesting. Like, hey, he's flying in. I almost expected where your draw into that or your lead in was. I was just going to check Twitter and say, like, hey, by the way, Dalvin Cook just signed. It's interesting that the big news story is, oh, Dalvin Cook's getting on a plane to go dap it up with Aaron Rodgers and see what they can do.
How many meetings did Hopkins have in Tennessee? Or did he just talk to them on the phone? Right, because
I think he went there.
Apparently he was sleeping at the Patriots facility, and like that didn't work out. Yes. Like maybe the better way to sign people is to not bring them in for, you know, summer camp. Like it's a sleepover.
I mean, apparently, like what we were led to believe, like Hopkins hitchhiked up to New England, was at like budget rent-a-car dealerships, just trying to hang out. But like knock, 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 like one of those guys in the parking lot with a sign, let me play in here or show you what I can do. What eventually ends up in Tennessee at that point. So we'll see. Maybe it's a spot for Dalvin Cook with New York, but I got a feeling. It's one of those where it says like, how did you let him get out of town without a contract? And Dalvin Cook goes, they didn't really offer me any money. What did you want me to do? Just sign nothing?
So let me make this point. Let me make this point then, because at this point, don't worry about the baseball stuff. So it's kind of right. We talk about this off the top of the Jets, Donnie, right? And the Aaron Rodgers situation, and we kind of if they go 2-4, Rodgers knows how to calm everybody down, right? Mm-hmm. So they can be fine. And Donnie, what if they go 4-2 though? Like, what if this team? Because look, they're home in four of these games, and I'm not saying they win the four home games, right? But if this team is 4-2, hitting the bye week, the conversation then is, oh no, they're very real Super Bowl contenders. Because I think there's still hesitation around this team. They're one, they are the Jets. Two, head coach, people still have questions about. And they're not getting Rodgers off of an MVP season. They're getting Rodgers off of a down season. But if that team, if that defense delivers the way people think it can deliver, and Aaron Rodgers is a I'm not saying MVP level, a step up from where he was last year, and this team is 4-2 as they hit the bye, we're going to be talking about the Jets as real of a Super Bowl contenders as the board will offer.
And rightfully so. And keep in mind, you can win a Super Bowl without actually winning your division here. If we're 4-2, that means the Jets are a playoff team. That means it's a one-off in the playoffs against Aaron Rodgers and that defense. You'll take your chances with Aaron Rodgers for the most part there. So they just got to get into the playoffs. Yes, they're going to be a player, and we probably expect them to get in. What is it, 9.5 as the team total? It doesn't improve with Dalvin Cook getting there, but certainly an extra weapon never hurt anybody.
It's you're right, right? Like the books aren't going to move, but Dalvin Cook is a name. Do some fans click on the yes, make the playoff, and it goes from -134 to -150? Maybe,
yeah,
right.
Maybe their biggest question mark running back, and they help that. That could be big.
And I also think, Donnie, when you look at the teams that are listed to be in on Dalvin Cook, it seemingly is the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills. So not only did you kept him out of Miami and Buffalo, right?
Yeah, true.
That is kind of the and I'll make this last point here, is while the Hopkins thing took long, we always knew who the suitors were, right? It was, it's New England, it's Tennessee, and then maybe Kansas City, Buffalo, if anything kind of, you know, falls through. With Dalvin Cook, it was like, oh, he's going to be a Dolphin the day he's released. Then he wasn't a Dolphin, and then everyone's like, well, he's going to go to Buffalo. Yeah. His brother's there, but there's never been a conversation. And now the Jets are bringing him in. Jets seem to be clear front runners to me. Listen up. Donnie Wrightside closes it out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day for a Thursday edition of The Early Line.
You're right on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159 today. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh over the past 2 hours setting the table for the rest of your Sports Grid day, which does include Ben Stevens and The Morning After coming up next. So don't you go anywhere. Keep the dial right here. A lot of hot topics talked about today, and also maybe the hottest of topics, Shohei Ohtani and the Angels, a match made in heaven. Are they going to try to make the playoffs, maybe win a World Series? Does Ohtani stay in L.A. or does he leave at the end of the season? But it looks like right now, Ohtani is there to stay in the short term. Lucas Giolito added there for the Chicago, from the Chicago White Sox over to the Angels. Talking some NFL action today. Big name contracts, which we're going to get to in just a little bit. But every team is now in training camp and all eyes now could be on the New York Jets. Will they be able to add Dalvin Cook to the arsenal with Aaron Rodgers, who took a pay cut? Everything seems to be getting in line there for those New York Jets. But by the way, if we're talking about big paydays on the horizon, there are two guys left. Those two guys, Joe Burrow and Bosa, Nick Bosa of the 49ers. Listen up. Quiet. Nick Bosa, Joey Burrow. Who's going to be the one that gets paid next? Whoever does, certainly going to break the bank. We might be looking at Nick Bosa of the San Francisco 49ers being the highest paid defensive player in the history of the National Football League on an extension. Joe Burrow at quarterback could be the highest paid player on a year-to-year average in NFL history. And you probably can't argue with either of those. I love what's going on there with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Can Cincinnati keep that young core together, the triplets per se here, right? With the quarterback in Burrow and wide receiver T. Higgins. On the other side, it's Ja'Marr Chase. That could be a league-damaging duo, or should I say trio, over the next couple years. Let's watch that play out. But Nick Bosa, an unbelievable defender on the defensive line, the catalyst there for the 49ers defense. How much is he getting paid? One thing is true, defensive end and quarterback. quarterback, they get paid. Running backs like Dalvin Cook, not so much. That'll do it for the show today. Thanks for tuning in, but make sure you keep it right here. Ben Stevens in the Morning After, coming up next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.